Hello and welcome to episode 55 of the Desi Outsiders podcast. I'm Ankita.
And I'm Meenu.
And we are here to bring you on with us into the season premiere of season 5. We are so excited to be back, and we're here to also tell you why we disappeared without a warning last time.
So this week, we don't have a guest with us, but we just want to use this time to catch up with you, our listeners, and just fill you in on what we have in store for you this season.
So without further ado, as usual,
let's jump right into the show.
You did not do that. So I just want to start off this episode by apologizing for just leaving the show mid-season without an explanation. We didn't tell you guys anything. We just packed our bags, literally, and left. And I want to tell you where we packed our bags to and what we were doing in the past few weeks. So being the person who's mostly interested in planning and organizing and looking at dates and timelines, I think it'll be interesting for both you and our listeners, Meenal, that the last episode that we did and that we released was Luz's episode from Luz from Argentina. And that came out on December 7th, if you remember correctly.
No, I don't remember. I don't tend to remember these things, Ankita. Like, you just expect everyone to remember dates. I mean, like, even this morning, I was walking to the hospital and I was walking with a friend of mine. And I'm like, oh, like, what's the date today? Is it like the 19th of January? And he's like, Mina, this is 24th.
The 19th of January is when we had our last correspondence.
Oh my God. Okay. Video. Okay. Yeah. Anyway.
So, do you remember that week, though? Do you remember how we had another interview that week?
I do remember that week, only because I was also very ill that time. And I was also getting ready to go I was also getting ready for the holidays, really. Yeah. And then this thing happened. So, you can explain to our listeners. And you can you can also explain the big role I played in your life this last month.
Yeah, I can. Because I remember everything, I can.
Okay.
So basically on December 7th is when we released Luz's episode, which is hopefully the last episode that you listened to and you tuned in. Thank you for that, by the way. And on December 8th, Friday in the evening, I received a phone call from my mum telling me that my dad is sitting on the edge of his bed suffering from heart palpitations. And that was a really scary thing to hear at the time. But he told me, I spoke to him and he told me, see, this happened, but it's okay, I'm going to the hospital tomorrow. So I had a scary evening, basically. And at 6 in the morning, my father drove himself to the hospital, climbed a few flights of stairs, got a few tests done, including an angiogram, which ultimately revealed that he had a couple of blocks in his heart. And another scary thing to hear for any children out there. I think my first phone call after that discovery was to you.
Yeah,
you remember that?
I do remember. And Ankit, it's quite interesting you say this, because even just today, we were talking about chest pain, like as a symptom, right? That so many people come to the hospital with chest pain. And you have two types of patients. Well, in general, we have two types of patients, those who underplay it and those who overplay it. So I guess your dad is one of the guys who underplays it, right? So What happened was that last week in the hospital, there was a guy who came in with chest pain, but he was a National Hockey League player. Wow. So he's the kind of guy who wouldn't even, like, he's really tough, he wouldn't, like, say anything. So he came to the hospital with chest pain. The ECGs were kind of normal, like, you could suspect something, but we were like, yeah, we can send him home. Mm-hmm. Sent him home, and 2 hours later, he passed away.
Oh my God, that is the scariest thing you can tell me right now.
No, but your dad's okay now, Ankita, touch wood, thanks to God, everything is okay. But I'm just saying, like, these things are so dangerous, and you can't underplay these things, because especially chest pain.
But the thing with my dad's chest pain, as far as I understand, that he was diabetic and quite highly diabetic. So the doctors were also explaining that, looking at the condition of his heart, it's possible that he's had episodes in the past, but he just didn't know.
Yeah,
he didn't even realize.
Do you know why? Can I tell you why?
Yeah, please do.
Okay. So when you. Dr. V is. So when you're diabetic, what actually happens is that the high glucose, right, it actually damages the nerves as well. So that means that you lose sensation of pain. Yeah. So a lot of people who are diabetic may lose sensation on the fingertips or on the toes.
Hmm.
But he lost the sensation on his heart. So that's a big problem with diabetes. So we call these silent infarctions. And that's probably what your dad had this whole time. And he probably felt the severity of it because the block on his artery, as you will explain to everybody, was so big.
Yeah. So I mean, I don't want to go into all the technicalities and all the nitty-gritty of it. I've written about it extensively on my blog, which is ankita.ink, I-N-K, if you're interested in reading about it. But basically, it was no ordinary block in the heart because it was a couple of blocks on his coronary arteries. And the scariest thing was that after we found out about this, you know, I don't know, you can probably explain this, Meenal, but the angiogram was quite hazy for some reason. I don't know why exactly that happens, but the doctors were just shocked after seeing it. And they said it's quite hard to figure out what exactly is going on because the angiogram itself is quite hazy.
I wouldn't really know why it's so hazy, but I would assume that because of the clogging, that the heart is actually trying to make more collateral vessels to supply it, that everything was probably a big mess.
Yeah, it was, I think, because another thing that I will get to towards the end of the story is that the haze in the angiogram was actually something that I'm inclined to believe helped us in the end. So the basic gist of it is that on December 9th is when we find out that his heart is in a really bad condition and he needs to be wheeled into surgery. On December 11th is when he finally meets his surgeon. And on December 12th, I'm on a flight to India. So all this happened after we released Loser's episode and I didn't even get a chance to like let anyone know except you and maybe close family members. And I was there.
Yeah.
And I was going through it. But getting back to what I said about the angiogram being hazy and that having played in our favor, I think that ultimately when the surgeon came out of the surgery, he explained to us that the angiogram didn't really report how bad the situation was. And it was only when they opened him up that they could see clearly what was going on. And I have a tiny little inkling of doubt that if they had actually seen how bad it was, I suspect if they would have said they're going to wheel him into surgery because it was a big risk.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, that's what I got from the tone of the main surgeon. And I'm glad everything worked out for the best. I'm glad my dad just got immensely lucky and we all got so, so lucky because it was not an emergency situation because they had to monitor his blood sugar, his thyroid condition, so many other things. And he had to be hospitalized for 10 days so that all of this could be regulated. And only then was he taken into surgery. And we're really lucky that it was not an emergency situation at all.
I have a question for you, Ankita, that usually, I'm not saying that you're cold-hearted or anything. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm saying that usually you're, okay, I'm going to sound really, I don't want to sound mean when I say it, but in the empathy side of you doesn't show so much a lot of the times. And I know that you are an empathetic person. You are. Like, towards me, you definitely are. Towards Shane. But towards other people, you have it in your head, but you're not really the type of person to show it. Like,
yeah.
Because that's just who you are. Like, it's not a bad thing. It's not a good thing. But what I'm trying to get to is that after this happened to your dad, has anything about you changed, do you think?
Every time I hear the term heart attack, just something lights up in me. And I try my best not to use that term lightly anymore. I don't even in a jokey manner, I try not to say, oh my God, that happened and I almost got a heart attack. I don't want anyone to say things like, around me, say things like, my heart almost stopped. Because that it just, you know, brings up something. And I think I'm too close and I'm too close to the situation right now.
Yeah.
And it just happened. So I'm a bit more sensitive right now. Yeah. And even today morning, you were with a heart patient and you joked that, oh my God, I'm getting a heart test.
I said to you, so guys, okay. All of you are probably going to think that I'm going to kill patients when I graduate, but I really won't. So today what happened was that we were with our doctor and I was with my best friend Kojo, and so Kojo, if you're listening, hi. So the doctor had asked us to examine the heart of this patient, and I was just couldn't be bothered, and I'm like, I was discussing with Ankita about who we're gonna speak to next and how we're gonna schedule all our interviews. And then my friend's like, Meenal, can you put your phone away? I'm like, I'm dealing with business here. And he's like, we're dealing with a heart here, Meenal. Like,
yeah. And you mentioned to me that I'm going through these things, you know, these reports of this heart patient. And I said, stop everything, Meenal. You need to pay attention because this is so
obviously scary. I would, but the final word isn't mine anyway. It was just a way to revise to see what the patient history was. But it wasn't anything.
It's basically that I'm getting a little sensitive about
it. Yeah, I was like, dude, chill out. Like, yeah. But I also think that like something like something as severe as this can really change people, because my father's brother passed away last May, I think, and my parents are becoming really sensitive now to these sort of things. Mm-hmm. Like when they mm-hmm. hear that someone else is... So, you know, Ankita, even when your dad was in hospital and you were in India, my mom was really concerned, you know? Like, yeah. She kept asking, like, how's Ankita? How's the family? Because they've yeah. been through the same thing as well.
And, you know, believe it or not, we're recording today recording literally the day before we're releasing this episode. So for any of you who are listening to us on Thursday, today's Wednesday. And today morning, the first message I saw from my mom was that one of our neighbors passed away. And this is an uncle that I've seen, and I've not really spoken to him much, but my parents kind of know them. And I asked what happened. I called her and I asked what happened. And it was basically cardiac arrest, BP, all of these things. And I'm just so much more perceptive and so much more empathetic when I hear these things, because it could happen. And the person who passed away, he also has an only daughter who had to travel to come to the funeral. Now, you hear all these things and you just feel, man, yep. This just sucks. And this is the reality of it. Someday you're going to get that call.
And I also feel that that as we grow up, even like in the last couple of years, I felt that death has become a very different meaning to me now. Like before, yeah. You never used to think about it. I never used to care. It's not that you never used to care, but like it never happened around me. But now I feel that death is something that happens so often. It happened before as well, but I'm saying I'm much more aware of it now. Like people tell me about it, like family friends are passing away and people are having heart attacks. And then because I also work in a hospital, it's even like much more scary. And this is why I am so passionate about explaining to people that you have to take care of your health now, so that when you're 60, you don't go through the same thing. And this is something I always talk to you and Shane about all the time.
Yeah.
You know, like you have to make sure that you're eating well, that you're taking care of your body, because it's going to catch up with you in a few years.
Yeah, and you know, along the same lines of what you mentioned earlier, how we're becoming more perceptive of this, I remember I was attending a friend's wedding in India, and this also just happened by chance because I was not supposed to attend her wedding. It was only because I was there due to my dad's situation that I got to attend it. Mm-hmm. And at the church, there was this section where they put up pictures of people who had passed away that week, and there was this picture of a little girl, and the family name just stood out to me. So I don't know, for some reason, I just went on my phone and I was like, this little girl from this family, is there an obituary I can read? And it turns out that there were other people from that family who had passed away recently. And I saw someone who was 55 years old. And suddenly it hit me, 55?
Yeah.
That's too young. It's only because my dad's 60 that this is making sense to me now. But back in the day, 5 years ago, I wouldn't have even thought about it.
No, because you know, your dad is 60, and my dad's 65. Yeah. And my dad, I love my dad. Like, he walks to work, he comes back from work, and he picks up all the groceries. Like, he's very fit and healthy for a 65-year-old man who's worked his whole life. And someone like him would be like, oh, you know, I'm tired of working. But he still keeps going. And when you told me that your dad is 60 and he suffered this condition, I'm like, man, dad, please, can you go to the doctor and get a checkup? Like,
but actually, didn't he? Because I remember you telling me that your dad had a little bit of a wake-up call recently.
Oh, yeah, he did. He did. Like, I think it was about 2 years ago. He had a wake-up call, and he's lost 10 kilos in a year now. But that was the only reason that happened, Ankita, was because when you look at BP charts and you see that you are in the red zone, I think that color red, like, just scared the life out of him.
I mentioned your dad to my dad when I was talking to him right after he suffered from the heart palpitations. And I thought my dad was going to put up a fight and say that he's not going to the hospital. This is okay. So I needed to be prepared. So I picked up the phone and I said, do you want to see your grandchildren?
Yeah.
Because I remember your dad said that he wants to see you graduate. He wants to see your brother. And he wants to see you settle down. He wants to see his grandchildren. And I know that that was something that kept him going.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask my dad a similar question. Like, do you want to see your grandchildren? And my dad, till date, says that actually made a difference to him. And that's one of the reasons why he didn't put up any fight.
Mm.
He just drove himself to the hospital, which was quite dangerous considering
because
the situation.
Ankita, like, I don't want to scare you here, but my uncle who passed away had a heart attack while he was driving. Yeah. So that is really dangerous.
No, I did. You know, I probably am not the best kind of person to be with after you've just suffered from such a situation and gone through surgery. But I sit with my dad all the time and I keep reminding him, hey, remember that time when you picked up that really heavy thing? Hey, remember that time you were driving me? Imagine that. Can you imagine if this had happened? And he understands as well. But the good thing is that, you know, we... we could intervene at this stage.
Yeah.
And we could give him help, and he's going to check-ups.
You can just think of this situation as the right amount at the right time. Yeah. Like, it scared him enough to actually give him a wake-up call. And
it scared us enough to constantly be breathing down his neck.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah. But how is your dad doing now, Ankita?
So far, so good is what I would say. He's someone with immense willpower, Meenal. Mm-hmm. I mean, I hope you meet him, you know, in the next few years. And I hope you get to talk to him, because he has immense... Even when he was going through his cancer episode, which I'm sure a lot of our podcast listeners don't know about. Again, you can read about it on my blog. My dad was a cancer patient 18 years ago, and it was second stage cancer. And that in India back then was quite critical.
Mm.
And he just powered through it because he was mentally just... telling himself that I'm going to get through it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to survive, and I'm going to come out of this. And that's exactly the way he went into this surgery. And at the end of it, when he was in the ICU, the main surgeon came to us and said, "Can you believe it? Your father is consoling us, and he's comforting us. He's telling us that I'm fine. Don't worry about me."
Wow.
You know, and all the nurses came to us and said, there are just very few patients that we remember forever. And these are the patients who smile and who are really polite and who are not complaining all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a major surgery. Everything hurts. He has three 30 centimeter long tubes inserted inside him so that the fluid can escape. And he has all these cuts on different parts of his body. And he still walked the day after his surgery.
Mm.
He got up, he sat on a chair, he had his soup, and he walked.
But that's, you know, this thing that you just mentioned, that the doctors and the nurses remember these kind of patients who are smiling. And I also feel like this is something that I try to engrave in my life as well. Like, just in general, like, I feel it's the opposite as well. Like, patients remember the doctors who are also smiling. And I don't speak the language. I don't speak Czech in these hospitals. But to even just try and speak Czech makes these people so happy, and to smile and I think that like, just, I think you've mentioned this in your blog before, just one smile just makes a difference. And you mentioned that you saw someone in Zumba smiling, I think.
My Zumba instructor.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so painful what we were doing, but it's not Zumba exactly, but it's another form of fitness.
Yeah.
She was constantly smiling, and she was saying, "Don't forget to breathe." And she was smiling while doing
it.
Yeah,
but I thought, your Zumba instructor just smiles way too much. I'm like, can you be sad? I want to make her cry.
Don't say that. I love her. I hope she's listening, by the way. Hi, Alex.
Okay, she listens.
Yeah. So, speaking of doctors who are also really pleasant, another thing about medical practitioners is that if you're not pleasant, again, we will remember you. I mean, if you're just one of those people that comes into the room and no matter how polite and nice and happy we are being with you, if you're just like...
I figured out why people do this, and I realized a trend, that the doctors who do this are usually much older, and they're at that stage of their career where they just don't care. Like, they're earning money, they got a nice car, they got a nice house, their kids are married off, they got grandkids. Why would they be nice to anybody?
Oh my god. So I don't want to mention anything, but there was this doctor who would regularly check my dad, and sometimes he'd receive phone calls in front of us, right? And I remember thinking that I really, really don't want to be the person on the other side of the call when this person picks up the phone and says, yeah, he's like, I'll call you later. I mean, it's just so rude the way he talks.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't want to be the person calling you when you're examining a patient, because I'm not sure I want to be the patient myself, you know? So I don't want to be the person on the other side when you're examining the patient.
Mm.
I don't know, just smile a little more. It's something I keep telling myself as well, because I have a resting bitch face.
Yeah, thanks for saying that.
I mean, when I cross roads in Edinburgh, people over here are so friendly that they just smile at you from across the road. And I'm like, me? Why? Who are you looking
at? You know, Ankita, when I'm in India, right? And when I went to the ISKCON Mandir, the Hare Krishna Hare Rama temple. And I was really happy to see people, because in the Delhi temple, there are so many people from all over the world, like so many devotees. Like, there was one woman from Russia, one from Poland, like people from Africa. It was amazing. Like, and when I just have this excitement inside me when I see people come from all over the world, because I'm so interested to talk to them. So this Russian lady, she had lived in Czech Republic. So I start talking to her and I start speaking in Czech, and I'm really excited. And then I go speak to these black people as well. And my aunt is like, "Meenal, what are you doing?" I'm like, she's like, "Why are you so happy?" I'm like, "What?" Like, this is so cool to get to see all these people. And even when I'm in India and I smile at people and stuff, my family are like, "Meenal, don't do that. Like, someone's going to attack you."
Yeah, when you live in a country with a population of 1 billion and when it's so diverse and you can't really trust everyone around you.
I know, that's
you
problem.
Have to be a little
yeah. I was you I'm can't very really naive when it comes to that. Yeah. I just smile at everybody.
I mean, I was just remembering the time I discussed the whole Zahra Wasim case with you. Remember when Zahra was traveling? Zahra Wasim is, by the way, for our listeners who are not aware, she's the actor in Dangal, and she's also the actor in Secret Superstar. She's a teenager and she's a rising, you know, superstar herself. And she was on a flight recently where this man sitting behind her had his foot on her armrest, and he was apparently moving his foot up and down her back. And she was really uncomfortable. And, it, you know, there was an Instagram story where she mentioned this. And we were discussing it. And you said, you know, but is that a big deal? He was sleeping. And you were playing devil's advocate here?
I was not playing devil's advocate. Wow, I can't talk. I was not playing devil's advocate, Ankita. Okay, you can't see the webcam, but I'm actually pointing my finger at Ankita. I'm lagging my finger. What actually happened, Ankita, was that I wasn't trying to... Because feminism right now is so volatile, we're at a stage now it's so difficult to know what's right and wrong. I think that to make sure that we are on the right track as feminists or as equalists or whatever, I think, especially on the Desi Outsiders podcast, the most important thing is to see both sides of the story.
You have to.
Definitely. Yeah, as much as we can. So you, the reason why it seemed like I was playing devil's advocate is because you were talking about Zahra. So I'm like, well, someone has to stand up for this man. Like, I have to, okay, maybe not stand up for him, but at least show his part of the story.
Yeah, and his part of the story has been on the internet. It's just that when I spoke to you, it was really apparent to me that personally, you've not experienced this kind of a culture as much as I have. And it's not like a competition here. I'm not going to say, oh, you this and me this. No, it's just that when I grew up there as a teenager, I know what it feels like when a lot of people are staring. I know what it feels like when a man sitting opposite you on the train is trying to kick you.
I understand. All of this, Ankita, and I understand that I have been relatively privileged in that sense, and I'm very grateful for that. But my question wasn't, my argument here wasn't the fact that why did she complain about it? My argument here is like, why do you have to go on live on Instagram? Like, why do you have to do something like that? But then you came up with a relatively good counter argument.
That when I was on a train similar to her situation, there were two boys sitting opposite me who just picked up their phones and took a photograph of me. And they were such idiots that they didn't even turn off the photograph sound. And I saw that. And I'm thinking, if I had social media back then, if I had Instagram stories, I would have just taken another picture of them. And I would have put it up.
The thing was that I don't know if I'm saying the right information here, but I'm not sure if Zahra actually told a man herself that she was uncomfortable.
The thing is, when you're in that situation, to confront is really difficult because you don't know who else in that flight is going to stand up for you. You don't know who else is going to stand up for this man. You don't know what's going to happen. Because a lot of the times when a lot of women in India confront people who are publicly either, you know, staring at them, molesting them, whatever, sometimes these men just attack back. And you don't know what to do in that situation. As a teenage girl, I perfectly empathize with her because I've been in that situation.
But then at the same time, like you read the man's story. He came back from a funeral. He had to go back to his job at home. These are the stories that I've read. I mean, I don't know what's true and what isn't.
Yeah, but why remove your socks and your shoes and put your hand on someone else's armrest?
This is one thing that Indian people do. Like, I'm sorry, but like, why do men take their shoes off and their socks off? Like, in public, it's so disgusting.
Meena, on my flight from Abu Dhabi to Manchester.
I don't want
to
hear it. Stop. Okay, stop.
I got to sit at the emergency. I'm not listening to you. I'm just going to go ahead and tell the story. I'm sitting on the emergency seats, right, with Shane. And right next to us on the other aisle, I would say, there's this Indian family sitting. And this man is, like, really overweight. And he has removed his pants, like pants buttons and his zip. Yeah, that's how he's sitting there. Thankfully, we can't see it, right? But every time he gets up to either go to the loo or it's a long flight, it's an 8-hour flight. Every time he gets up, he stands in front of the entire flight and he like does his zip and his button and everything in front of us all. And I'm sitting right there.
You see, this is another thing, Ankita, that I realized that when I came to Czech Republic, right, that any action that I did or anything that I did according to these Czech people, I was basically representing the Indian community in general. I'm not saying like, I'm like the president. Like, so I'm saying, but I'm saying that that's their perception because they don't see people like from Asia so often. So anything that I do, they will be like, oh, like this is what Indian people do. And that's true, right? So when I was in Prague the other week, I remember something had fallen off my hand. Like, I think it was a wrapper or something that fell on the floor. But I'm like, you know what? I'm going to pick this up and make sure that people don't think that this is what we're like. And I really do feel, I really do believe that when we're Indians in Europe or Indians in America or Indians wherever, we do have a responsibility of representing ourselves. So imagine someone probably thinking, like, oh, this Indian man or this Asian man.
Yeah, it's just doing like, that. And I just want to point out at this point that when I travel from the UK to India, there's a long stretch, or even from India to the UK, there's this 4-hour stretch where we have to travel to either UAE or like Saudi or someplace over there. And then we travel mm-hmm. to the UK. So this 1 4-hour flight is constantly filled with people from my state.
Yeah.
And there's a huge Malayali population in the UAE. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, it's the same flight we take to the UK as well. I mean, the same company. For some reason, the air hostesses on that short flight, the 4-hour stretch, they're much ruder.
Really?
They're just fed up. You ask them for something and they're like, do you want water? Do you want... They're just really fed up because... And initially, I turned to Shane and I was like, wow, what's going on over here? And he said, look around you. They're dealing with these people and these people are not necessarily nice to the air hostess.
I guess so.
And sometimes it so happens that they press the air hostess button just to see them and they ask for water or everything just to objectify them. And it happens a lot. And sometimes these people are just really rude in general to them. So the air hostesses also towards the end are so fed up. They treat us the same way because they treat me and Shane the same way. We look the same.
Yeah, because they're going to think you're going to do the same thing.
You're going to do the same thing. God. And then you climb on that flight from UAE to the UK and there's this complete, this stark difference in the way they treat you because that's how they are in general, but they just get fed up. I wouldn't completely blame them or call them unprofessional, but you know, you have to look at them as humans.
Yeah, yeah. And
you have to be nice to them as well.
Yeah, and I just think like for all our young listeners out there, like if you do ever travel, just remember, you are representing us. You are representing Asians. And it's really important to keep that integrity, like, you know, that to make sure that people don't assume. And this is the whole reason why problems are happening in the States, because people have been generalizing people out of certain characteristics they've been seeing throughout the last few years.
We're never going to say that the racist attitude towards our community can ever be disregarded, but at the same time, you also have to be perceptive.
Of course, of course.
You are behaving.
I totally agree with that. Yeah. So
Meenal, I think it's just been half an hour of us rambling about.
This was a
so
great chat. Like, I didn't even know how we ended up here. Again, as always.
But I just want to also tell our listeners that we're very thankful for their patience. We were planning to roll out episodes till December 26th, but that didn't work out, as you know, and we've told you why that is. In the past month, I just got back from India on Jan 14th, and I've been getting back into, you know, the whole mess that we left behind. But Meenal, you've been amazing in coordinating so many things and just, you know, being emotional support for me along this journey. So thank you so much to our listeners. Thank you to Meenal. And we will see you next week with our first interview.
And thank you to all our listeners who sent us emails asking us when we're coming back. That was really nice to see that we have people from everywhere, Ankita. I really apologize if I'm not pronouncing this correctly, but we have Egli from Germany, and she lived in Greece for some time, and she also lived in Gujarat for some time, and she enjoys listening to our podcast because she wants to learn more about our culture. And we also have, again, apologies if I'm not pronouncing your name correctly, we have Mokshatama, who also messaged me on Instagram, and I just wanted to give both of you a shout out for messaging me individually and privately.
Truly, and it was truly these messages, they were a ray of sunshine when we were, you know, out dealing with all these other...
Yeah, because, you know, sometimes, you know, with all the correspondence and sorting things out, you think like, why do I have to go through all this? And then you get a little reminder from the universe, and we really appreciate that. So we will be back next week with another bang, and we have an amazing guest lined up for you. So do stay.
We have a few amazing guests we should say, for the next few weeks. Yeah, and we will be rolling out episodes till April. Also, this is our opportunity to ask you guys to please tell us if there's anyone in particular that you would like us to interview, because we'd be more than happy to try and get in touch with them. Or if there are any topics that you would like us to tackle, because we are happy to do another brain dump of this sort where we can just talk about our beliefs and our views on certain things. So do let us know. Do get in touch with us at mail@desioutsiders.com. And you can find us on social media at The Desi Outsiders.
So until next week, I'm Meenal.
And I'm Ankita.
And we're The Desi Outsiders.